Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for joining us in worship today. You can be seated. Just reminded this morning the beauty of multi-campus ministry and that we're one church in multiple locations, as we have Pastor Joe and Miss Christy from Harrisonburg, and we get to talk about Harrisonburg Campus VBS and our VBS and Pastor Billy, and it's just a beautiful thing, and it's just front and center this morning that we get to be one church in multiple locations. So thanks for leaning in. We love that you're here with us this morning. My name is Jared. I get to serve here as the campus pastor. If we haven't gotten to meet yet, I'd love to have a chance to talk with you and meet you after service. But I know some of you are going to get a big deep sigh out of this, and I'm just sorry in advance. But I want to read God's word today. We're going to just jump right in. Would you stand? We're going to come face to face with Jesus' words. I know we don't always do this or don't often do it, but those of you who are able, those of you who are willing to play along today, can we stand, and we're going to read Mark chapter 4, the first 9 verses. Mark chapter 4, the first 9 verses. The text is on the screen. There's also a YouVersion event created if you'd like to follow along there. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, says, "Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said," and here begins the words of Jesus, "Listen, listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear again. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." This is the word of the Lord for us this morning. You can be seated. I want to take you back in time and across the county to Singers Glen in about 2017. So this is a picture of our house in Singers Glen before we moved to this side of the county. But perhaps more importantly, can we just stop and recognize, man, that grass looks good, doesn't it? I mean, come on. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, and some of you are thinking, I showed up for this? I know it solidifies my status as an old person. I'm kind of comfortable with that already, so whatever. But man, I love that yard. Like, I only ever mowed it in two directions so that when you were coming in the driveway, whether it's in or out, you could always see a checkered pattern. I know you're thinking, you have serious mental issues, and you're right. But I love that yard. And that was my pride and joy. I did all kinds of stuff to get to this result. I would core aerate it to help reduce compaction in the soil. I treated it with herbicides to kill the clover and the dandelions, get all the weeds out of it. And as I was beginning this process of trying to grow what I consider golf course quality grass, I actually did what's called a soil sample. So a soil test, you go out in your yard, you can do this for your garden too, farmers do it, but you go out and you get little spoonfuls of dirt from various places on your yard. You put it in a little baggie and you actually mail it to a laboratory. And so labs take this soil and they analyze it and they will tell you what exactly kind of soil you have and what you need to change or add to produce a fruit, or in this case, a nice stand of turf grass. What on earth does that have to do with anything? Hang with me. As we sit face to face with Jesus' words today in Mark chapter 4, Jesus, in his own way, is inviting us to take a soil test of our own. Except it's not of our yard or of our garden. It's a soil sample of our heart. It's a soil sample of our heart. You see, Jesus, in this teaching, he highlights four different types of soil representing four different types of people and how they respond to his teaching. And so in giving us four different options for soil, four different types of people, four different heart conditions, if you will, he is inviting us to do a soil sample of our own life. In presenting four different options, he is also presenting us, he's confronting us with the question, what soil is my heart made of? What condition is my heart in? It's a simple question, but it's very searching of us today. What is the condition of your heart like? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, the beautiful thing about this is that as it was true 2,000 years ago, we're studying history in one sense, it is true today at the 10:30 service in Elkton, Virginia. Because we are again being confronted, encountering your words today. And the same Spirit then is the same Spirit today, speaking and proclaiming your word. And so, Lord, as we work through this text, would you apply it to our heart? Would you invite us to consider the condition of our heart today? To do a soil test of our very life. Lord, it's not an invitation of condemnation, but of compassionate conviction. Lord, we want to hear your word today. We want to hear your voice, and we want to respond and draw in closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're continuing in part two of our teaching series called FaceTime. Throughout this extended teaching series, we're going to week in and week out get into Jesus' words, the red letters that you might find in your scriptures today. We believe that we have a real opportunity through the ministry of the Spirit, through the presence of his word, to sit face to face with Jesus and his word. We might think of FaceTime often as an app on our phone or a Zoom call for work, but there's a very real sense at which we can have FaceTime with Jesus through his word, and that's our goal today. As we get into the story here in Mark chapter 4, you may know it as the parable of the sower. As Mark is recording the life and ministry of Jesus, his popularity, the group following him is growing bigger and bigger. It says there in the first part of the text that the crowd has grown to the point that Jesus needs to get into a boat so he can get a little distance to begin to teach the crowd. Now, I just want to pause here to say I'm for a biblical model of Jesus teaching, so I'm going to need a boat and we're all going to move to the lake. It's scriptural. Don't push back on this, okay? I'm just taking one for the team. We're going to do this the Jesus way. But until then, so he's in a boat. He's on a lake. The crowd is by the seashore. So he's got some distance, the acoustics of the water, and he begins to teach them. And the word there says that he was teaching them many things in parables. Now, a parable, this is something we see often in Jesus' teaching ministry. A parable is a story of everyday life that communicates spiritual realities and truth. And so you have to use your imagination to really understand what Jesus was saying. You have to engage with the story, engage with the text to think this is not some crazy old man talking about his yard 10 years ago. Okay? That's a parable. And that's really the point. That's kind of why Jesus does this. And he addresses that in verse 10 and 12 of chapter 4. And it's essentially that if you aren't interested, if you aren't leaning in, if you're not following God's prevenient grace in your life to lean in and be curious, it's going to go right by you. You have to say, what a crazy story. And you'll go on with nothing. But for those who will slow down, who will hold the grace of curiosity for Jesus' words and lean in, there is deep, rich, abounding spiritual truth in his word in this parable today. And so that's what we want to do, is engage with curiosity in the word of the Lord today, responding to his leading. This parable specifically in Mark chapter 4 is a little unique in that Jesus actually circles back around and gives us the meaning. A lot of times Jesus would teach in a parable, he would tell a story like that, and then the scene would shift and he goes on. He never circles back to go, all right, let me break it down for you. But his disciples in this story, they weren't exactly tracking with what this parable, the seeds, the soil, the fruit, they were kind of confused. And so if you find yourself that way today, we're in great company. The 12 guys who followed him most closely didn't get it either, so we're in good shape. But they circle back and ask him, Jesus, what's up with that? Break that down for us. And so we're going to jump in at Jesus' explanation as he begins to interpret this parable to the disciples in verse 13. It says, then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? Like, ruh-roh. How then will you understand any parable? In Jesus' response, we start to get the sense that catching the meaning of this one is very critical. Like the key of this parable holds something else for the rest of Jesus' teaching ministry. He's really highlighting how important it is to catch this one. He continues, verse 14, the farmer sows the word. And with this verse, we begin to get into Jesus' explanation of the parable. He says that the seeds sown or scattered are the word of God, the teachings of his kingdom, of salvation, of life, and of God and his people and how we are to live. That's the seed being sown, being cast out in the parable. And as the story is told by Jesus in our context, the farmer himself is Jesus. The one casting the seed is Jesus himself. And so that's how, in this moment, this is a true historical reality from the life of Jesus on earth 2,000 years ago, and it is true for us today as we dive into his word. The seed is being scattered, and the Holy Spirit is talking and speaking through his word today. So yes, this is true then, and it's a true now moment where the seed is being sown today, right now, as we're in his word. Let's continue. Verse 15. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes in and takes away the word that was sown in them. So we have the first soil type in the story out of four. The fields of Jesus' day would often, as many do even still today, they would have paths through them or around them. And if you've done any hiking at all whatsoever, you know that a path has no vegetation in it because the foot traffic has worn that down. It's packed it tight to where nothing is going to grow. That's the picture of what's happening in this story. The seed has been thrown out, but the seed landing on the path never takes root. It never does anything. And more than that, birds come in and begin to pick up that seed. It's funny to watch on Monday mornings. There are crows that routinely sit on top of the light poles at our Harrisonburg campus, and they are looking on the parking lot for crumbs of bread and candy that were sown the day before. It's amazing how they've adapted and know us so well, but they're there about every Monday to clean up. But that's the picture. Jesus is reminding us that there is an enemy. He relates the birds in this story to Satan himself. That Satan wants to come and he will take that away from our life before it ever has a chance to grow. And so he's reminding us today that no matter what, anytime the seed is sown, anytime we hear the word of God, it is never a spiritually neutral activity. Think about that. What we're doing right now is not a spiritually neutral activity. There is an enemy to your soul today that wants to swoop in as soon as the seed hits the ground and to get it up before it would ever change you. Hearing and understanding the Word of God is never a neutral activity. Let's continue. Verse 16. Others are like seed sown along rocky places. They hear the Word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The second type of soil to receive the seed is the rocky ground. Now, here locally in Rockingham County, this should be easy for us to relate to, right? Here's a picture of our current yard that drives me absolutely insane. This is a rocky patch in our current yard here in Elkton. The funny thing is, every year it gets the same amount of seed, it gets the same fertilizer, it gets the same core aeration treatment, it gets all of the same work as the whole rest of the yard, Except this is as good as it ever gets, because there's just not enough soil there. I can get the little fresh green sprouts of grass to grow up at that big. And then they get to this time of year and the sun comes out and they're scorched. That's the picture of this soil type that Jesus is talking about, is that the seed, the word goes out, it begins, it might even start to grow, but the pressures of life, the persecution comes in and withers that growth. It never bears fruit. It never produces anything in the life of that person. Jesus is describing the person who hears the word of God, the good news of Jesus and eternal life, and may even be excited about it. But then they begin to realize that what comes in Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and the rest of the week, that life is hard, and that people we know and maybe even love or do life with may not be as excited about what God's word is doing in our life as we are. And that pressure comes, that heat comes, and scorches that growth of the seed that was planted. And the result is that it dies. It never produces real change in our life. It's as if we might find an emotional excitement. We might have a good feeling when we heard the word of God, whether it's a podcast or a sermon on YouTube or a church service. We might have an emotional response, but it never makes it to our heart. When pressure in real life happen, it's scorched and it's gone. That's the picture. No real change ever happens. Let's continue verse 18. He says, still others, like seed sown among thorns, they hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. The third type of soil to receive the seed is the thorny soil, the soil with a lot of weeds in it. You see, this soil receives the same seed as the others. It's receiving God's word, but other things, other weeds, thorns, activities, they come in, grow up around it, and ultimately choke the life out of that seed of the word of God in our life. They choke out. They grow up so big, it kills the other plants. This is a picture of a small pasture field, what's left of a pasture field on Lawyer Road. It's between Linwood and Doe Hill, if you're familiar with it. And it is absolutely full of thistles. All that tall growth is thistles. If you notice, there's a couple, if you look just to the left of the white barn, you see a couple black dots. Those are actually cows in that thistle patch. And the thistles have grown so tall that when you ride by on Lawyer Road, you only see the top of their back. This is a picture of the weeds growing up and choking out the word of life. You see, the thistles have so consumed that field that there's hardly any grass for the cows to eat. It's almost going to choke the cows out here at some point. That's the picture. That's the picture. You see, Jesus, he's identifying three different types of weeds. Thistles, dandelion, and clover. Pick your three, whatever. But he names three different things that have a tendency of when we receive the word of God that they would come around, grow up, and overtake the word of God in our life before it bears fruit. The first weed that he names, the first thistle, is the worries of this life. These are the cares, the anxieties, even the distractions of everyday life. The plague of busyness that demands our every ounce of attention and energy just to keep up. I know there's no busy people in the room today. I know there's not. Maybe the worries of this life are an obsession with news or political happenings. Maybe it's an obsession with tending to our image, the curated one we put out for everybody to see. Whatever it is, these things grow and they begin to smother out and ultimately choke the life of the Word of God out of us. The second weed that suffocates is the deceitfulness of wealth. The deceitfulness of wealth. You might say the trick or the trap of just a little bit more. We can so easily come to believe that if we just made a little bit more money, if we could just make $5,000 more a year, if we could just make $10,000, then we'd be set. We could relax in comfort. Our 401k would be funded if we just had a little bit more. And Jesus is warning us that when our life begins to be consumed by this pursuit of more, the pursuit of wealth and the pleasure that it brings, that that seed that grows, that weed actually chokes out the best thing. It chokes out His word from our life. When we begin to believe that our 401k is what secures our future, that our bank account establishes our status and our worth, it's choking out the true life, the essence of what God's doing in us. Those things take the highest place of priority in our life. The last weed, the last thistle that he talks about is the desire for worldly things. Here's the basis of that one. We want what we want more than we want what God wants for us. Did you catch that? This is the desire for worldly things, that we want what we want more than we want what God wants for us. I want to have a big house. I want to be able to vacation or camp every weekend if I want to. I want my kids to have experiences I never had. I want to be famous, or I want to be an influencer. I want to be comfortable. I want to be set. I want to be set. You know, the fascinating thing about weeds is that some of them are really beautiful. Now, it pains me as someone who likes a yard to say that a dandelion is pretty, but can we just stop and look at that for a second? That's beauty. I'm sorry. You have a golden yellow flower that grows in the most adverse condition, pops up, shines bright, and then it does this crazy thing where it goes from that golden yellow flower to that white puffball. Like, come on, can any of y'all do that? No. That is amazing. I don't want them in my yard, but it's beautiful. And here's the thing. The weeds that grow up in our life and choke out the life of God, the Word of God in us, some of those things are beautiful. I hope you have a great 401k and can retire. I hope you can take vacations and you have a nice life. All that's fine. It's when it begins to choke out the Word of God in our life. When those weeds take the highest priority, we've lost. You see, because the Word of God never bears the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of Spirit, the growth of His kingdom that it should. And that's the problem. That's where death comes. And Jesus is saying, this is His words, this is not me yelling at you, it's Jesus. But He says those things will grow up and kill the best things. The Word of God, that Spirit that has so much potential in your life, is choked out. That's the weedy soil. What's interesting in the weedy ground, it's not that it doesn't receive the Word. It's not even that the Word doesn't grow or take root. It's that other things overtake it, and it never grows to its fullest potential. There's only one soil that bears fruit. And if I'm honest with you today, that's been challenging me this week. I'm not a great math person, but I can figure out that if three out of the four soils don't bear fruit, there's a 75% chance I might be in that unbearing category. I don't like those odds. But that's what we see. Three of the four types of soil bear no fruit. They don't receive the Word of God. They don't transform. And so, friends, before we would just go, oh, man, glad He's not talking about me. I'm in the 25%. We should really slow down and go, wait a minute, 75% don't make this. Lord, what's the condition of my heart today? You see, there's one soil that bears fruit. It's in verse 20. It says, others, like seed sown on good soil, they hear the Word of God, they accept it and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. And so you see that the good soil receives the same seed but has a different result. change happens. Multiplication happens. He's talking about 30, 60, 100-fold increase. The increase of the life that Jesus is talking about here, he's showing the exponential increase to the, compared to the seed that was sown. That our life produces an overabundance partnered with the Word of God and His Spirit at work in our life. That we do things that blow our minds. Jesus does things through us that blow our minds. Let me get that right. But that's the fruit of good soil. And he tells us, just like he described the weeds, he's telling us a little bit about the good soil. The picture of the good soil, that person hears the Word of God, is receptive. Now, I don't know if this ever happens to you, but I've been on a daily reading plan in my Bible. I'll sit there in my chair in a coffee in a quiet house, and my eyes will read over the text that I'm supposed to read that day. I'll close my Bible and at some point go, what did I just read? Maybe I'm the only one that ever happens to. But you see, that's not quite hearing the Word, is it? It's positioning ourselves and slowing ourselves down and clearing away the distractions to really get in the Word of God, to ask His Spirit to apply it to our hearts, to slow down and hear the Word of God. That's the good soil. And it says the good soil is also accepting of God's Word. So once you understand it, you begin to get it in you, you have a choice to make. Am I going to submit to this Word or not? That's where the rubber starts to meet the road, isn't it? But to accept the Word is that we accept its authority ultimately over our life, that it doesn't matter what I think, what I feel about it, what I might try to argue back, the Word of God planted in our heart is the ultimate authority, not my opinion and preference. And I like my opinions. I think I'm right a lot. No comment. But to accept the Word of God is to say no. What the Bible teaches and what the Lord communicates through His Word is the ultimate answer, period. And I will submit my life to it. That's accepting of the Word of God. And finally, the receptive heart is changed by the Word. You see, transformation happens. You hear it, you accept it, and you're changed by it. That our lives begin to produce fruit. We are transformed by the Word of God in us and His Spirit constantly changing and sanctifying us, making us to be more like Jesus. That's the fruit of the good soil. That's the sign of the good soil. Are you still with me? That is a lot, right? So we went from a little story about soil and grass and soil samples to all of that truth revealed about the kingdom of God. That's the beauty of a parable. That's what Jesus is doing there. That's a lot of truth, little package. But for all that detail this morning, all that meaning, if we're tracking, if we're following along with Jesus, it circles us right back around to the question that we began with this morning. What kind of soil am I? What kind of soil are you this morning? Is my heart hard and rocky? Do I hear the things of God and His kingdom? And do I push back? Am I offended to the point I don't listen? Are there things in life that are growing up and consuming to where I don't have time, I don't have energy, I don't have space, I just can't fulfill God's call on my life in this moment? Maybe the emotional high that you hit one spiritual event from a podcast or a sermon, maybe that's faded and you're back down in real life wondering what's happened. What kind of soil are you this morning? If I'm honest, that's been the question that has just been all over me this week. What kind of soil am I? As you begin to think about that, you go, okay, well, how do you know? Great question. The good news is Jesus gives us the soil test. It's right here in the passage. The soil test is simple. Is my life producing fruit? You say like bananas and strawberries? No. But if the mark of healthy soil in this story, in this parable, is fruit, we have to ask the question, okay, what's the fruit? Because that's the test, right? We don't have time this morning to get in a full biblical survey, so let's just look at two different places. What is fruit? What should my life, what should the soil of my life be producing? Galatians 5 says at verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the soil test today, the answer to your question is you begin to ask, what soil condition am I? What's the condition of my heart? Is my life producing those things in abundance? That's why this question has been all over me this week. Is it true? That's the question of the soil today. Is my life being changed? Is there love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control? Is that showing up in my life, in your life, to a 30, a 60, a 100-fold increase? I mean, it ought to just be oozing out of you. That's the soil test. That's the test. Jesus says in John 13, 35, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. You could basically say, by this fruit, everyone's going to know you're with me. If you love one another. Is my love for the people in this room, the people in my household, the people I do life with, people, period, is that growing? Do I love people in 2026 more than I love them in 2025? I don't know. But that's the test. What kind of soil are you today? This has been all over me this week, which is great. I've been asking a question like this in 2026 a lot. And it started about a year or so ago with this wonderful thing called supervised ministry experience, which is a fancy term for a whole lot of homework. It's part of our ordination process in the district. We'll talk about that here in a second, but papers upon papers and some more papers to cover up those papers and books to read and projects to complete and all those things. It's great. A lot of good material, a lot of great learning. I mean, it forces you to be in and around the Word of God and the church and all of those things daily for pretty much a year. And so you think about that and go, okay, wow, that is being covered up in seed. Hang with me. So we finally get to the end of that. Woo! What a load lifted. There's another completed supervised ministry study right there. But about the end of the year, 2026, that's behind me. I'm finished with that. I sense the Lord asking a question. Okay. Am I any more like Jesus after all of that work and homework and reading and paper writing than I was before I started? And I'm just being honest with you today. I don't think I was. You see, because it's not about how much seed you're covered in. It's about the condition of your heart. So I'm trying this year in 2026 to be transformed. That I wouldn't just have all the podcasts and YouTube preachers on my favorites. Do all that stuff. That's great. But that the word we hear and the word we read would actually show up and we would be overbearing. The limbs of our life would be loaded down with love, joy, peace, and patience, and kindness, and gentleness, and goodness, and self-control. That's the soil test. So what kind of soil are you? So you might say, well, Pastor, I don't know if that's true of me. I'm not sure my life is bearing those fruits. Well, there's opportunity today. Because you see, this is not a message of condemnation. Jesus didn't tell this story to say there was no hope. He told this story so that those of us who hear it might take action to start working on the soil of our hearts. That's called soil amendments in the words of grass and farming and gardening. You're going to start making some soil amendments. We're going to start making changes to the soil to get the produce we want or that we desire. And that reality, friends, reminds me of our neighbor, Miss Lily Berry. Worship team, if you guys want to start making your way up. This is Miss Lily. She lived right in front of us when we moved here to Elkton. She's with Jesus now. But what reminds me of her in this story is that until her dying days, she was an example of tending the soil. From our kitchen window, from the back of our house, pretty much anywhere, you could see Miss Lily out in her yard picking up rocks and pulling weeds. And Miss Lily did this day after day after day after day. It didn't matter. She was out there. She would pick up rocks. And something about where we live, if you pick up one rock, there's three more under it. I don't know how it happens, but they just keep coming out of the ground. And so Lily's been tending her yard for years, forever. But yet there were still little piles of rocks about yay tall, landmines look like in the yard. But she kept after it. And she'd have little piles of weeds. And this devotion to tending the soil actually kind of became a problem in Lily's life, because as her health deteriorated, she would get out there and she would fall down. And she couldn't get back up. Didn't bother her much. She would just crawl around the yard picking up rocks and pulling weeds. Like, she would not stop tending the soil in her life. And it kind of became a point where it's concerning, right? Because if an elderly person's laying outside with no food, water, or shade, like, that's a problem. And so her family ultimately asked, said, hey, if you see mom out there and she can't get up, would you let us know? Please don't tell them. We would see her. I didn't want to tell on her because she was doing what she loved. Now, we made sure she was fine, and before it got dark, we made sure, but she would just sit out there in the yard until one of the family came home and they'd help her back inside. That's the picture of our life spiritually. Is that I don't care if you are a brand new Jesus believer today or you've been a Jesus believer for 80 years. Here's the reality about soil. If you don't keep working it, if you don't keep tending it, it's not going to produce. I don't care how good it is. So whether you're new or older to the faith or more experienced, whatever, in the faith, we have a call to tend the soil. So if you're taking the soil test today, don't feel condemned. Feel invited to start tending the soil of your life. Man, if there's some rocks in the soil of your life, if there's something that the Word of God calls you out on and you're bitter about it or you're pushing back against it, get out there on your hands and knees and get those rocks out. If there's something growing up in your life that is pushing you away from God and His people, deal with that thing. Get rid of it. Because, friends, the reality is the spiritual fruit that the Word of God produces in our life is eternal. It's going to outlast your 401k. And it's going to help other people. Because who doesn't want to be around someone who is loaded down with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control? Man, that's the life. What kind of soil is your heart today? Would you stand with me this morning? The beautiful thing is that Jesus challenged the new believer and the person that thought they had it all together with one story. So how's your heart today? The interesting thing about, you read Jesus' parables and His teaching a lot. A lot of times He doesn't like come back around and drill home on this thing. He just kind of closes it and says, all right, see y'all tomorrow. And that's really where we are today. What are you going to do with the seed that's been sown? You are in this story right now. Thanks for showing up to church today. What are you going to do? The band's going to lead us in just a moment. All this is space to respond, to tend to the soil of your heart. And don't, if you can say, Pastor, my life doesn't look anything like Galatians 5. Praise God, He is here to help you. Because that life doesn't come by grinning it and bearing it and pulling up your own bootstraps. It comes by surrendering to Jesus and allowing His Word and His Spirit and His work to have full control in your life. You don't have to do it alone. But you do have to do it. You do have to respond. Grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. That's a Dallas Willard quote. So are you tending the soil today? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thanks for Your Word. Thanks for using stories of dandelions and thistles that help us think about kingdom realities, that help us think about our life on the way to work when we see a field full of thistles, or when we see our neighbor pulling up weeds and rocks for days and years, tending the soil. Jesus, may that be true of us, that we are ever committed to tending the soil of our heart that it might bear a fruit. Not, Lord, so we can say, woo, look at me, but so that our life would look like Yours, that other people might find help by Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord Jesus, would You help us to see what kind of soil we are today? Give us Your grace, Your strength, Your Spirit to respond, to pull up those weeds, to pick up the rocks, to care for Your Word in our life today. We love You, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're welcome to pray. The altars are open. Pastor Terry's in the back. I'm up front. Just moments of seeking.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.